temp check. What kind of summer are we having this year? A family road trip summer? A beach bum summer? Or a wake me when the sun sets summer? With Instacart, choose your own adventure and skip the shopping side quests. Where available, you can get ice cream delivered to your hotel, sunscreen to the pool, or cold brew to your bed. Well, door, in as fast as 30 minutes. Wherever you find yourself this summer, you can get the goods. Download Instacart for free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Minimum $10 per order. Excludes restaurants. Additional terms and fees apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I think he'll add, he being Ben Cherington, he'll add maybe some little pieces here and there. But I don't really think the Pirates are going to go out and get a Luis Robert or trade for 2 months of Pete Alonso or, you know, Vladimir Guerrero for a couple of years. It's just not their MO. And frankly, I don't think that Cherington has the budget to do it. I don't know if it's not so much he doesn't have the wherewithal or the, you know, the intestinal fortitude to pull off a big trade like that, but that just hasn't been their MO in 5 years. I mean, he's yet to really make a splash move. So I think that'll be one of those things where, you know, they push it down the road another year.
I'm looking at the Pirates payroll right now. It's $85 million. We know it was roughly $100 million back in 2015. And then after that season, they, you know, tried to keep the window open and made some curious moves. And they didn't add enough, but they still had that payroll up to $100 million. There was the Jonathan Neese, Neil Walker deal and all that stuff, right? But they've been at the $100 million mark before. It's a different era now, a decade later in Major League Baseball. We talked about the salary cap in the NFL, which was roughly $116 million back in 2008, and it's now $255 million. There's inflation. $100 million now is not what $100 million was back then. Mm-hmm. It'd be more like $150 million now. But I don't know that I agree with John Parato that they won't do something. In 2018, they traded for Chris Archer. In 2011... before they were actually even good, they went out and they got Ryan Ludwig. They went out and got Derek Lee. In 2013, they got Marlon Byrd. They got Justin Morneau. In, I think it was 2014, might have been 15. Everything gets jumbled together. They got Jay Happ at the deadline, and he was one of the best starting pitchers in the second half of the Major League Baseball season. I don't know that they're not going to try to add to this roster. You can throw the word cheap around. People do. Pirates fans do. They don't like the nature of this organization, and they have gripes, rightfully so, with the economics of Major League Baseball and small market clubs and all that jazz. But when the Pirates have needed to make moves in recent years where they've been around playoff contention, they actually have. I don't know what Ben Cherington's going to do because Ben Cherington was not the general manager, but the ownership was the same and they actually did go for it.
That's exactly where I was going to go with it. Like, I think that we need to do maybe a little study on Cherington and his time. Where was he at? Boston?
Mm-hmm.
And one at Boston. He was there 5 years, I believe, at Boston. Like, if I don't know if we could really find the deep details of this, but what moves did he make during that period of time and when the timing of it? Did he make those moves? And you could say that the Pirates have done it before, and I agree, and the ownership is the same, but it really comes down to Cherington. Like, what is his feel? What is his track record? How does he operate during times like this? When maybe the Red Sox, and I mean, obviously I can't remember or don't even really know, maybe the Red Sox were in a similar situation at some point during his GM tenure in Boston, and what did he do then? Because I think that that'll be very telling if they are going to make a move or not. Maybe, you know, they have in the past, okay? But what is he going to do? Because he at the end of the day, is going to make the moves. He doesn't have the, you know, he has a certain budget. We know that. But he is going to be the operator here. And we got to figure out if he's ever been in a situation like this before to kind of give us a tip to if he's going to do something.
Can I add something about Charrington?
Please do.
So I see that he was involved in some of the, I guess, some of the worst trades in Red Sox history. Mm. He signed, or he traded for Adrian Gonzalez that 1 year and got Carl Crawford, and they ended up all getting traded with Josh Beckett to the Dodgers. And then in 2015, he was criticized for acquiring Yoenis Cespedes, who didn't really do anything with the Red Sox, and he was also responsible for signing Hanley Ramirez, who ended up trying to play the outfield and absolutely bombed doing that.
But whether it works or not is different than going for it.
True.
Because getting Chris Archer in hindsight was a horrendous move and one of the worst trades in Pirates history, but the Buccos did go for it. They won a World Series in Boston. That, though, is a lot of deals that Ben Charrington did make. Whether they work or not, okay.
Right.
I mean, lick your finger, put it up in the wind, and just see what happens there, but you go for it or not?
To side with him a little bit, though, too, after he made all those big deals, he kind of cleaned house with them. And I think used a lot of the prospects like Mookie Betts that was coming up and developing to end up winning a championship in 2018, you know, acquiring Chris Sale, all that stuff.
No, you're right about all of that. And then Boston underwent this change where, like, when Mookie Betts left, it was this big shock.
Mm-hmm.
Like, wait a second. We're the Boston Red Sox. We usually pay for those guys. And they didn't want to spend, and they didn't want to go over that luxury tax threshold. So it wasn't just a Ben Charrington thing. In and around that era, it was a change in the direction of the way the organization wanted to operate. I don't know what's going to happen. I am not one to not criticize ownership here with the Pittsburgh Pirates, but to say that Charrington's only going to operate in his budget and then throw some of the shade like John Parrotto did at ownership, I don't think that that's fair. Like, if Ben, in this instance, like, if Ben Charrington doesn't make a trade, like, you need to hold him accountable for it.
Yes.
Like, people need to be mad at Ben Charrington, not just the owner, who's the guy that everybody wants to get mad at all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
Because we have seen, yes, with a different general manager, the Pirates did go for it at the deadline. And they went for it in a way where you gave up two really good players with a ton of talent in Austin Meadows and Tyler Glasnow and Shane Boz. And they went after a guy who had some diminishing numbers in the AL East those previous couple of years. So we know that that's what happened with the current owner. So if they don't do something at this deadline, I don't think you can just conveniently throw it all at that guy's feet. He can be part of the criticism, fine. But, you know, Ben Charrington's a big boy, and he can find a way here to do some stuff and it not have to break the bank either.
Well, he's going to have to get creative. Like, he's going to really have to, earn his money, because, you know, I think that we all believe that he doesn't want to part ways with prospects. Like, that's what I believe. I feel like he's real stern and, like, we're not going to give away our top prospects. And if you give away your top prospects, that's what you're going to get back in return, is something pretty decent. That's kind of how it works, right? So he's going to have to actually get creative if they're actually going to make a move, and he's going to stick to his guns of not giving away prospects.
Yeah, and so we played John Parrotto. Noah Hiles wrote a nice piece, which we can get into at some point in the Post-Gazette. Realistic trade targets for the Pirates. Ambitious trade targets for the Pirates. And I didn't hear any of this, but he went on with Pony for an extended amount of time yesterday. Hiles did, and he said he doesn't think the Pirates are going to give up top 10 prospects. So it's not just Parrotto. It's another guy who's tapped in Noah Hiles. But here's my question. I'm looking at the Pirates' top 10 prospects on MLB.com right now. Why wouldn't you give up some of these guys? So you got Tamar Johnson, who's a shortstop, second baseman, middle infielder. And then your next best position player prospect, Mitch Jebb, a shortstop. Jack Brannigan, shortstop, third base. Sung Che Cheng, who I'm sorry I butchered his name, a shortstop. How many shortstops do you need when you have O'Neill freaking Cruz, who you hope is going to be here for a long time? Then you look at the other prospects in their top 10. And just humor me for a second here, guys. Mike Burrows is 10th. He's a starting pitcher. Braxton Ashcroft, who all of a sudden is ascending through the ranks. He's been really good in a couple of appearances now at AAA after being promoted from AA. But he's a pitcher. Thomas Harrington, he's a pitcher. Anthony Solomato, he's a pitcher. Bubba Chandler, he's a pitcher. Point being, their top 10 prospects are pitchers and shortstops.
Right.
You've got a shortstop. You've got your top three starting pitchers in your rotation. You don't got to trade all your shortstops. You don't got to trade all your starting pitching prospects, but you can afford to trade a couple. These are your positions of strength at your big league club.
Right.
Where are you weak? First base and outfield. I'm not seeing outfield prospects or first base prospects in their top 10. And in fact, you got to go all the way down to 11 to find your first outfielder, and then 15 to find your second outfielder, and then you have to get all the way down to 19 to find your first base prospect.
Yeah, their middle infielders are young.
And you're set.
Yeah, like if you could play second and short, like you got that kind of locked up a little bit as it looks right now with Gonzalez and Cruz.
Yeah.
Like you.
And it's not to say, Dor, not to cut you off, but like you can change these guys' positions, fair enough. But like, you know, Tamar Johnson, his value is at, you know, a middle infield spot.
Right.
And I'm not saying definitely trade Tamar Johnson or anything like that, but he would absolutely not be off the table for me.
For sure.
I just don't understand why you couldn't give up a Mike Burrows. And I realize he's coming back from Tommy John. He might not be all that highly sought after, but you get the point. Or a Jack Brannigan or a Mitch Jeb, for God's sakes. You acquire all these guys and you make little moves to get prospects so that they will supplement your big league club, but then so that you can also trade them off. And I can understand not wanting to give up a Bubba Chandler, who's your third best prospect, for a rental. Like, I get not giving up a top 10 guy for a rental.
Mm-hmm.
But would you give up a couple of top 10 guys for a year and a half of control for Vladimir Guerrero Jr.? You should. Would you not give up maybe even three top 10 prospects to get Luis Robert Jr., who's going to be here for about a handful of years? Like that
makes
where
more
I'm lost.
Sense.
Yes.
That makes more sense. Like if you were going to do it.
Right. Guys who will be here through this window. You want prospects because they're cheap and under control, but it's not. Here's the other thing: like the Pirates haven't been paying guys. Like they actually have. Like that criticism doesn't carry any water anymore. Mitch Keller, $77 million bucks. Brian Reynolds, $100 million. Key Brian Hayes,
$70 million.
Yeah, $70 million. Like they have actually paid guys. So what's adding one more $15 to $20 million player? When a guy like that would really transform things for you here and give you an opportunity, because when you wake up today, you're a half game out of a playoff spot. 412-928-9370. Good talk. That's the phone number to call on the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. The Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection. Coming up next, more reaction to this, because the text line has exploded on all of this. And have we looked into the future at what Najee Harris could make on a deal if he were to sign long-term with the Steelers? We'll get to all that. Loaded show today, even though we've got no guests. We're just going to have fun on our...
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball season is heating up. Odyssey has you covered with the most entertaining coverage of your team. Stay locked in and in the know with the local voices you trust as they bring you unfiltered takes, recap games, react to the latest team news, and talk to callers. Listen to your favorite shows for free on the Odyssey app, Odyssey.com, your smart speaker, or in the car with Android Auto or Apple CarPlay.
Friday. In the 7 o'clock hour, we're almost to the halfway point of the baseball season. We're going to hand out some grades for the Pirates. It feels like a good stopping point. They were off yesterday. There's no game, but people got buckos on the brain. Got an email from our esteemed boss Craig Riley yesterday, who said the Derek Shelton show is incredibly highly rated right now.
Mm-hmm.
And the game broadcasts are doing quite well. I know the Buccos are under 500, but peeps are starting to get Bucco fever. So who has lived up to expectations this year? Who has exceeded expectations? Who has fallen short, and in some cases woefully short? We'll get into all that over the course of the 7 o'clock hour. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And you can text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. So I'm looking at this Noah Hyles story in the Post-Gazette here, Doran, and he's got realistic trade targets, and he's got ambitious trade targets. But there's a ton of realistic trade targets, and I'm wondering if the Pirates get a few of these guys. If they get a relief pitcher, if they get a platoon first baseman, if they get another body to throw in the outfield, but none of these guys are like big names, do you think that that satiates the fan base? Or do you think this fan base needs a big name?
Needs a big name.
Dang it!
Needs a big name. You tried doing that this year, right? You tried to platoon first base. You tried to, you know, roll out a platoon right field. You tried to, you know, try to patchwork these things together. Going into this season, and we tried to see through the, you know, see through the grayness and see through the fog. It's like, oh, well, Roddy Tellez, you know, $3.2 million, you know, 2 years ago he hit how many home runs? He could be good platoon with Connor Joe and in right field. Hey, you know, we'll see what happens. It hasn't really worked. I mean, it's worked a little bit to get them in this situation, but not enough to put them over the edge.
I'm going to sit totally on the fence on this one.
Can't.
And it's annoying me even before I say it, Doran, and I could tell. By the way, you said can't. It's going to annoy you, too. Preference? Yeah, go get a guy. Go get a guy. Go get Luis Roberts Jr. Give up three prospects. And whatever it takes to get that guy here who can play in your outfield and who can hit you 30 bombs, go get that guy. But they have the second worst OPS among center fielders in Major League Baseball, the Pirates do. Because Michael A. Taylor's OPS is like 5 and something. He has been every bit as bad as Austin Hedges at the plate while also being as good defensively in center field as Austin Hedges was at catcher. He is the outfield version of Hedges.
Didn't he start off pretty hot too?
He did, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And he had a home run robbed the other day, but that would have lifted his OPS to like 517 or something like that. He has been dreadful at the plate after hitting 21 homers last year. I didn't mind the acquisition at the time because he is elite defensively, and if he could hit you 21 homers, that's a good player.
Right.
He has not been that guy. And Jack Sawinski's hitting about .175. He also, those are your two primary center fielders. If you just go out and you get, let's say, a Kevin Pillar from the Los Angeles Angels, who's hitting .303 with 7 home runs and a .904 OPS in 32 games, that's not someone who you would have to give up a ton of prospects for. That would legitimately upgrade you, like significantly upgrade you. And that's not a huge name or anything like that. I'm at the point where while I would prefer a big name, I'm okay with 3 or 4 guys who are clear upgrades. Like, because the difference between the offseason and now is, to your point, you're right. That is exactly what Charrington did. Let's get a bunch of guys. Let's spread that money around. At least now you'd have a body of work this season where you'd go, okay, this guy is clearly better than what we have.
Reality versus fantasy, they're going to do what you're talking about.
I think so.
If they do something, it's going to be in your realm more than my realm. Like, there, I don't think there's a chance that they go get like one or two names. There's no chance almost. Like, the 2% chance. But reality, yeah, like that's... People won't look at it like a good deal, like if they do slightly upgrade and platoon, but it's exactly what they need. You know, they need just a little bit. Like,
they just need to be, incrementally is not the right word, but they need to be slightly better at 3 or 4 positions. And if you can upgrade 2 or 3 of those, and you can get to a place where you're consistently scoring 4-ish runs a game, you do have a chance to go on a little bit of a run there. And I think I brought up Marlon Byrd before. Marlon Byrd with the Mets in 2013 was hitting 285 with an 848 OPS, and he was a good player. He was not a great player, and it wasn't one of those things where you go, oh, they're bringing in a superstar, but he upgraded, and then he hit a home run in the wild card game. Like, it wasn't sexy. Justin Morneau wasn't sexy, and he hit for no power with the Pirates, but a little, and that team was better, but you upgrade a little bit, it can go a long way.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of Jack Sawinski or Michael A. Taylor playing center field for you every day, you get a Kevin Pillar who is at least a professional. That's a big upgrade.
Yes.
If Connor Joe can be, you know, not a fixture in your lineup every day, but maybe he plays 4 days a week in an outfield spot, or he spells a guy at first base, or even you DH'd him or something like that, now you're lengthening your lineup. You're deepening your roster, and I wonder if I'm guarding against, like, I know they're not going to get the big name guy, so I'm talking myself into this medium upgrade thing would be a good thing, but any upgrade would really help.
Mm-hmm.
Are we at least on the same page where we think they're going to make a move?
Huh.
I think they're gonna. It's just too, you have to, and I think you open yourself up for so much criticism if you don't. I think they're gonna make at least a move or two.
I'm in the hoping category right now. I can't get to, like, I'm almost certain that they're going to do it because I just don't know. I don't know.
Callis, do you think they're going to make a move?
I don't know.
412-928-9370. I think they will. Doran's hoping they will. Callis doesn't know. Do you think the Pirates will make a move at or before the trade deadline? 412-928-9370. Maybe that can be the Twitter poll today. Do you think the Pirates will make a move at or before the trade deadline? The Fan Morning Show Twitter poll brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. TrustPJ.com. Your reaction on all that coming up next. Plus, Ramondre Stevenson gets paid. What does this maybe mean for Najee Harris? We'll talk about it. We got our Pirates report card nearly halfway through the season coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. Good discussion shall follow. But in the NFL world, the Patriots and running back Ramondre Stevenson reached an agreement on a 4-year extension for $36 million, including $17 million fully guaranteed, and that's about $9 million per season. The fifth-year option for Najee Harris would have been around $7 million. And I'm here to tell you, friends, that Ramondre Stevenson is not Najee Harris. Najee Harris has had 3 straight 1,000-yard seasons. If unspectacular, at least consistent. Ramondre Stevenson played 12 games his rookie year, 606 yards. In 2022, he had 1,000 yards. And then last year, he had 619 yards. So if the Steelers did want to get something done with Najee Harris, or when Najee Harris decides if they allow him to hit free agency, he gonna be making over $10 million a season. Like, he's been at least a much more accomplished player than Ramondre Stevenson.
Yeah, he has. But do you think the Steelers are now gonna be willing to shell out that money?
They weren't willing to shell out $7 million. Yeah, right. I doubt they'd be willing to shell out more.
Right.
And weirdly, the running back market has kind of bounced back a little bit,
mm-hmm,
with some of the deals that were signed this offseason. Like, let's say Najee Harris has a 1,500-yard season and, like, 12 touchdowns or something this year. You know, I would consider franchising him, but I don't know that I would ever want to tie myself to a running back for 4 years. Like, I 'cause you can be great, and then you can fall off real quick. Like, Todd Gurley, remember? Todd Gurley! Right around that Le'Veon Bell period, Le'Veon Bell reportedly rejected a Steelers deal, and then, like, 2 days later, Todd Gurley signed for more money than Le'Veon Bell was considering signing for, and then Todd Gurley was never the same.
Right.
Like, you can be great, and then all of a sudden it goes away. I see this deal yesterday, and I go, okay, Najee Harris is absolutely not going to be a Steeler long term. That's the first thing that came to my mind.
And I think that, like, they, you know, Drake May is probably going to be the starter. And if Drake May has, you know, just like a rookie year, they're thinking, like, we need to be able to have some type of offense for the next coming years while Drake May gets his feet wet. Maybe we'll just pay Ramondre Stevenson because we know that he's, you know, he's consistent in a way that we can we can revert to him if Drake May doesn't pan out in the next 2 years.
Yeah, you got a rookie quarterback. I can see it.
Yeah.
I can see that. I understand the logic in that. The Steelers, part of the reason why I don't think they wanted to commit guaranteed money to Najee Harris is because they're not 100% sure what their quarterback situation's like.
And they have a lot of faith in the other guy.
That's true.
That's why.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at the depth chart for the Patriots. I'm like, is it the same situation or is it a different situation where Ramondre Stevenson is the feature back, but they have Antonio Gibson behind him too, and he's a pretty good number two back. So it's kind of the same situation. They just have a young quarterback now.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that I would want to pay. In fact, I know I don't want to pay Najee Harris $7 million when he's going to be touching the ball 50% of the time.
Do you think that they would have picked up the option if Kenny Pickett was still here and he had the season he had last year?
No. No, I don't.
Mm-mm.
Because I still think that they didn't have their mind made up on whether Kenny clearly could be the guy or not. And so even if it wasn't Russ and Justin Fields this year, I think they'd be fairly in a similar situation where, like, we don't know what our quarterback deal's going to be
right
a year or two from
right
now.
Right.
412-928-9370. Newman from Monongahela joins us now on the show. Hello, Newman.
Hello, Jerry. Anyways, the Pirates, they're Pittsburgh version of the Browns. It doesn't matter what they do. They ain't going to do anything.
It doesn't matter what they do, they're not going to do anything. So you're saying even if they make a move, they're not winning anything?
No. I've been watching them for 60 years, and it's always the same.
All right, Newman, thanks for the call.
60 years?
I mean, you've actually seen good things.
Right.
If you've been a fan for 60 years.
How's it been the same? Exactly.
And that's two championships, sir.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, okay, so that kind of stuff. I understand any pessimism from Pirates fans. I do. We have seen your 35.
Six.
I do this every time. You're 36. I see. You look 35. Mm-hmm. 35, 33. Callus
36.
Is, whatever. Callus is 25. We have seen three good Pirates teams in our cognizant lives. So I understand the pessimism. I do. But the Cubs hadn't seen their team win a championship since 1908. The Red Sox hadn't won since 1918. And then those teams won championships. You know, the Cleveland Cavaliers won a championship. Like, just because you haven't won championships doesn't mean you can't if the right buttons are pushed and the right moves are made. And I don't think it would take much in terms of adding for the Pirates to get to the postseason. And if they do get to the postseason, I think based on their pitching staff, they'd be a hard out.
Okay, like they might not win a championship, but what if they win a playoff series? Like, I think that's fine because then you could see something that for next year. Like, that's where I think people's minds need to be. Like, we hope that they would make it to the World Series. That'd be unbelievable.
Yes.
And that should be everybody's goal. It really should be at the end of the day. But realistically, if they make a move and they win a playoff series or they even make it to the playoffs, that is as much positivity that has been around here.
Oh, my God.
For over a decade. But also, if you want to lump that in, like you said, in 30-some years.
Yes.
That's part of that.
The Royals, they were a bad franchise for a long time, and then they win a World Series. Like, just because you haven't, just because historically you've been bad doesn't mean you can't get good. Look at the Detroit Lions last year. They were very close to going to the Super Bowl, and who knows what happens if they get to that point. So I understand the pessimism, but just because you haven't doesn't mean you won't. And, hey, you're right, man. Like, you play for chips. Like, that's what you're playing for. That's what you're rooting for. But we hold up the 2013 wild card game in the same light when we're discussing championships for the other two franchises because that was such a cathartic moment for all of us. If they made the playoffs and they lost in a series, that would hurt at the time. But I think then you zoom out. Oh, you'd be excited for next year. And you would look at that as an absolute win.
Yes.
You won 76 games last year. Making the playoffs would be a big, big victory.
Uh-huh.
You can call us. Open phones all day long. It's just the three of us. No guests. We're having fun. 412-928-9370 is the phone number. Coming up next, the Stanley Cup back in action tonight. The Oilers and the Panthers. Connor McDavid. Can he win the Conn Smythe even if they lose the series? Of course he can, but How would we feel about that? We'll talk about that before we get back to the Bucks full form from 7 until 8.
Here's McDavid, bottom of the circle. He scores! A tough angle shot by McDavid, and it got through Bobrovsky. This one's on target, and it's swept away by Tkachuk at the last moment. But McDavid scores! Connor McDavid with 17.3 to go sends this series back to Alberta.
You know, that's really got to suck for the Panthers. We got to get on a plane and go back to Edmonton.
Oh,
son of a gun. Connor McDavid, what a postseason for this guy. 5 points away from setting the single postseason record for points. This is what I was afraid of, Doran. This is why I wasn't rooting for Connor McDavid. Let's say they come back and they win this series from down 3-0 to winning this thing. It is going to be maybe the greatest postseason in the history of professional sports.
Yeah.
I mean,
it could, yeah, it'd be up there.
And it would be the most legendary comeback in that sports history because of the guy who spearheaded it. And so I usually don't like a player on a team that doesn't win the final that wins the Conn Smythe. In this instance, like, I feel like you almost have to give it to him even if they lose the series. Look, he's been the best player.
Yeah, look what he's doing. Look what he's doing. I mean, you have to give him, he is the best player. He is willing his team to stay in it.
He has had 4 points in back-to-back games. That's the only time that's happened in Stanley Cup final history. The only time that's ever happened. And he could break the all-time record for a single postseason. I don't know how you don't give it to him. And I usually hate that kind of thing. Chuck Howley won a Super Bowl MVP, a West Virginia Mountaineer, for the Dallas Cowboys when they lost to the Colts. Baltimore Colts at the time. That is the most West Virginia thing of all time, by the way. So good, but you lost.
Right. Yep.
Ron Hextall won a Conn Smythe in 1987 for the Philadelphia Flyers. They lost the series. J.S. Jaguar, the goaltender for the Anaheim Ducks, when they lost to the New Jersey Devils, he won the Conn Smythe. So it's happened before. If it had never happened before, this would kind of be the perfect time to make it happen for the first time. But because it has happened before, I don't know how you deny that man's greatness.
Yeah, I mean, didn't LeBron do something like this with Cleveland against Golden State? Like,
yeah.
I mean, and that's why he's LeBron. Like, that's why they're great. And he's just showing his greatness. He's already been great up until this point, but now he's really shown how great he is and how great he's going to be. And if they come back, would be one of the most unbelievable comebacks led by a great player, and he will get the award. But I think even up to this point, for how he's just kept his team in it.
Yes.
How can you just ignore, like, he is the best player in hockey?
Without question,
he
not even close. And in other eras, if Nathan MacKinnon's the best player, or Nikita Kucherov, or Austin Matthews, or any number one of those guys are the best player in your sport, you would say the sport is in a very good place.
Yes.
And this guy laps those dudes. He laps the field. And usually when you have a star player and they don't win a championship, let's play that hypothetical out. Let's say they lose tonight or they lose in game seven. Hey, a lot of times it gets thrown at the feet of the stars, like, oh, you weren't able to do it. If they don't win the Stanley Cup, I don't know how you can put it on that guy. I'd have to put it on the bottom six and the lack of everything else going on.
Yeah, it won't be him.
I agree, and that's so rare that ever happens.
Right. Usually, like, they wear it too, whether it's good or bad.
Yes. Like, they are oh, you didn't win? Well, you're the guy who can't win. And I think people were smart about it with Ovechkin. Like, you look at Ovechkin's playoff numbers before he won the Stanley Cup. They were very good. Like, he was not really the reason why they didn't win, but they didn't because they didn't have a good enough team around him, and that has to matter too. We were also talking during the break about it's June 21st, and we could be handing out the cup. And if you don't tonight, it'll be June 24th. So if you're the Oilers or you're the Panthers, you have played a full 10 months of hockey.
Oh,
whew. That is obnoxious.
That's ridiculous. That's a lot.
We're going to get into this later on in the show, but it just sort of hit me. In hockey, in baseball, in basketball, if you want to cut the seasons down by 10 or so games, I think I'm down with that. Football, they might be going another way. We'll talk about that later on in the show. But coming up next, you can participate. This will be fun at 412-928-9370. Did I do the 50-minute mark, Reed Callis? I did not. The 50-minute mark on the fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler, Dodge Jeep, Ram Route 19, and Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. My bad on that. Coming up next, for the next hour, we could break this down. Almost the midway point of the Pirates in baseball season. We hand out grades. Who has overperformed? Who has underperformed? Who is meeting expectation? Let's have some fun with this, and you can chime in too, again at 412-928-9370. First, let me tell you about the weather. It's brought to you by Sun Chevrolet, 24 Silverado LT crew cab up to $7,500 in rebates. Full terms and qualifications at sunchevy.com.
Baseball season is heating up. Odyssey has you covered with the most entertaining coverage of your team. Stay locked in and in the know with the local voices you trust as they bring you unfiltered takes, recap games, react to the latest team news, and talk to callers. Listen to your favorite shows for free on the Odyssey app, Odyssey.com, your smart speaker, or in the car with Android Auto or Apple CarPlay.